help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 226, all three stanzas. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry. Our Father's God, to thee let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. O God, our shield, look thou on us, reveal thyself in grace, and let thy own anointed one behold thee face to face. Psalter 226, all three stanzas.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this evening is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, starting at verse 10 through the end of the chapter. We mention Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. But before we will do confession with the words of the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. He mentioned to you Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Thus far.
Congregation, we wish to especially remember in prayer the Bile family with the passing away of Mrs. Nell Bile at the age of 93 years, and also Benson Clark, who had an accident today. Let us ask the Lord for a blessing and his presence. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we cannot take one breath. We are completely dependent upon thee. Thou hast created us. Thou hast brought us into this world. Thou holdst on to our life, and thou wilt also be the one at thy time to call us out of this life to stand before thee and give an account. And again, we have heard the message of a dear mother grandmother, and other relative who has passed away. Exchange time for eternity. Lord, remember the mourning family. We pray that thou would sanctify this calling unto them and to all of us, that we may hear thy voice that thou art speaking, prepare to meet God. Lord, we ask that thou would then give, that by thy word they may have that comfort, that only comfort in life and in death. Help thy servant, our brother, when he's also called to lead the funeral and to speak a word in Norwich. Help him and bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember all those who are mourning. Lord, look upon them in mercy. Uphold them. Comfort them. Thou art the God of all comfort. We pray, remember all the sick and afflicted. Remember also Ben, who had an accident today, is in the hospital. Care for him, given a broken heart, that thou hast spared his life. And remember him, and give that this time of affliction may be a blessing unto him, to his family. Give healing, help, Lord, remember them. And so, Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would remember all of us. In thy goodness and mercy, we may be together again in thy house in the middle of this week. Lord, we beg and pray thee, as we have gathered together, that thou would be in our midst, that thou would come, and that thou would work mightily, irresistibly, by thy word and spirit, by thy powerful word, and by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would be born again, that sinners would be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son, that sinners would become lost sinners, that lost sinners would become beggars, crying for mercy. And Lord, that thou would lead and guide by thy word and spirit, that they may become seekers, seekers with their whole heart, that they can find nothing in self anymore, and that they need one, that they need a mediator, one who is righteous, holy, very man, and who has everything that a sinner needs to be reconciled unto a holy and righteous God. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, tonight, by thy word and by the work of the Holy Spirit, there be opening to proclaim that only precious Savior of sinners, but also that he may be revealed unto poor and needy sinners for the first time or by renewal. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake and for our eternal welfare. Thou knowest how it is in each one of our hearts. Thou knowest how we have come into thy house. Lord, if we are still dead in sins and trespasses, oh, may tonight be the hour of thy sovereign good pleasure to give life. But Lord, remember also all thy dear people, those whom thou hast given life, whom thou hast translated out of the kingdom of darkness into thy kingdom. But oh, they may have so many questions. They may have so many riddles. Maybe they cannot see it. It's all dark. Oh, we beg thee tonight that through thy word, that they may hear of that wonder of thy grace, that riddles may be taken away. Oh, that they may hear their hearts described by the preaching of the word, and that thy spirit may testify with their spirit that thou knowest of them. Oh, we beg and pray thee, give thy people a little assurance, a little comfort, a little strength in the middle of this week to carry on in that journey through this life upon this world. Lord, that they may be in the world, but not of the world. Lord, speak, visit them, care for them. And Lord, thou hast promised that that work that thou wilt begin in a sinner, thou wilt never ever forsake, but thou wilt keep them. Thou wilt teach and lead and guide. Thou wilt strip and bring to that only Savior. Thou wilt show them that they are unrighteous and that all their righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags. It's painful for the flesh, but by losing life, by coming lost and unrighteous in self, oh, wilt thou then also do that work to reveal him who is, as we may read in thy word, the Lord our righteousness, who has said, thy righteousness is of me. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, tonight that there may be a little crumb for poor needy sinners, a little food from him who has said, I am the bread of life. Oh, wilt thou give a little water, a little refreshment unto the thirsty? Lord, thou hast an abundance for the chiefest and for the vilest of sinners. Unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thou alone can help the mourning ones, the sick, but thou art the only one who can give that life in souls and to bring unto thyself and to keep and to bring home into that eternal rest. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember then the whole congregation, each one, Lord. We beg thee that thou would work mightily for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory. Oh, that many may come to know who thou art and that way of salvation through thy dear Son. And that will be a way of learning who they are, that they are transgressors, that they are guilty before thee, a holy and a righteous, just God who can by no means clear the guilty. But thou wilt also show them that one who is innocent, who did no sin, who is pure, who is made sin, oh, reveal it, that one who has that righteousness through his obedience, fulfilling thy word, thy law, but also giving himself as that sacrifice to pay for sin, to satisfy thy justice. O Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would do wonders then for thy great name's sake and for our eternal welfare. Remember those who are listening along. Wilt thou also give them a blessing in their home? O, we beg and pray thee that thy word may be proclaimed throughout the world. Thou hast given unto thy church that great commission. Go and preach the gospel to the nations. And Lord, thou hast promised that thy word will never return unto thee void, that it will accomplish thy purpose. Oh, may it be to the salvation of us and our dear children, but also through the world, that many may be born again, that many may hear and come to know that only name, that precious name, that name of that Savior, of that one who came into this world to seek and save lost sinners. Lord, we pray then that thou would bless thy word wherever it may be proclaimed, in the established congregations, in prison, among children in the neighborhood, with our all those that we may speak to and share, in whatever way, in the sphere of our lives, Lord. Lord, remember blessed, but also on the mission field among Jew and Gentile. Lord, thou hast promised that a people will come from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west, and there'll be one flock under one shepherd. Oh, may we see the urgency, and may we become beggars. Oh, Lord, wilt thou be then my shepherd? Oh, that I may be a sheep that belongs unto thee, that thou hast paid for, that thou could cover, that thou could cover my unrighteousness with thy righteousness, and that thy blood would cleanse me of all my sin, that the Almighty God could receive me in favor. O Lord, we beg thee then, give that urgency, give that cry in hearts of lost sinners, What must I do to be saved? And that through thy word, through the precious gospel, sinners may be directed unto the only Savior. Lord, take away all the obstacles and the hindrances in listening. Oh, that evil one, Satan, he would like to whisper. He would like to distract. He would like to cause that we would not listen. We would not hear. We would not understand. But we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give ears to hear, enlighten minds to understand, and work in hearts. Take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. Work those graces of true repentance, of godly sorrow, but also of true saving faith. Lord, look down upon us in mercy. Thou could righteously and justly pass us by because of all our sin. We have left thee in paradise, never to return. What a wonder! Thou hast called unto Adam, where art thou? And thou art still willing to speak unto us, to call unto us through thy precious word. Blessed Lord, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach. Give much prayer and bless thy word. Lord, remember then us and all our cares and needs, and give us a good hour in thy house tonight, in thy favor, with thy blessing, that we may go home and say it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Lord, rend the heavens, come, have mercy, we beg, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 390, all three stanzas. Lord, hear me in distress, regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws, no man is justified. Psalter 390, all three stanzas, and the collection for this evening is for the Canadian Lord's Day Association. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, we have been considering Paul's exhortation to the Ephesians to put on the Christian armor, to fight the good fight of faith, which you heard read from Ephesians 6. What is a Christian soldier? Is a Christian soldier someone, for example, we can hear in history that at times there was war and that a soldier was drafted into the army, that he had to fight, that it was mandatory, it was not voluntarily, but he was serving in the army, but internally in his heart he didn't want to be there at all? Is that a picture of a Christian soldier in the battle? What is a Christian soldier? Well, by nature, man, you and I, are enemies of God. By nature, we only fight against God. And we are unwilling to serve him. But God, by his free and sovereign grace, by his work in the heart of sinners, makes them, brings them into that battle. He makes them Christian soldiers, and they become willing. As we read, for example, in Psalm 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Their hearts are conquered. Their hearts are renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So may I ask you tonight, are you still an enemy? Are you still fighting against God? Are you still fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that still you? I hope you're convicted tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's hope. Why? Because God is still converting enemies. So there's hope. Or are you, by God's grace, a Christian soldier? So those who are Christian soldiers, listen to the exhortation of Paul in Ephesians 6, verse 10, 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So last time, we considered the first part of the armor, which we read in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You need to be armed with the truth in your mind. You need to be living in the truth. But especially, you need to be in the truth. You need to be living in and under, following, obeying the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, we will consider the next piece of armor with the Lord's help. And we read that at the end of Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the theme this evening is the Christian soldier armed with the breastplate of righteousness. The Christian soldier armed with the breastplate of righteousness. Three thoughts. First, the significance of the breastplate of righteousness. What's the meaning? We need to understand what Paul was writing about. What did he see? What did he see by that breastplate on a Roman soldier or on a soldier? And what did he mean by a breastplate of righteousness? So the significance. Second, we will consider the protection. What is the protection? There is protection for those soldiers, but there's a protection. A protection for the Christian soldier by the breastplate of righteousness. And then last thought, the blessing. The blessing of having, the blessing of wearing that breastplate of righteousness. There's blessings, beautiful, precious blessings. And so, the theme, the Christian soldier armed with the breastplate of righteousness. The significance, the protection, and the blessing. So our first thought, the significance of the breastplate of righteousness. Paul commands all Christian soldiers, all the sheep, all the lambs of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the believers in Ephesus, and all believers unto the end of the world, he gives a command. Stand therefore. They're in a battle. Stand. How? Having on the breastplate of righteousness. So what does Paul mean by the breastplate of righteousness? Especially that breastplate. The significance of this breastplate is a necessary part of the armor of a Roman soldier or of a soldier at that time. The soldier wore a big shield that covered his chest and his abdomen. It covered his vital organs. The soldier wore this so that no arrow, no spear, no sword could pierce through. It was a very strong piece of material, of leather or of metal. No arrow, no spear, no sword could go through this shield. Today we would maybe call it a bulletproof vest. It protected the chest and the abdomen. So the breastplate of righteousness was a very important piece of the armor. Why? Because it protected the soldier's vital organs, his heart, his kidney, his lungs, and other vital parts that he needed for life. But now we need to also understand the thought. The thought at this time in the culture, they had different thoughts about their internal organs, especially about the heart and the kidney. What did they think? They believed that their organs, that in their organs, the organs were the seat, the base of their emotions and of their affections or of their being. You can read this in the history books. They believed that their being was in their organs. The Israelites also believe this, because we can read, for example, of Asaph. He expressed his feelings as we read in Psalm 73, verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins, which means kidneys. Or of Jeremiah expressing his grief. Lamentations 3, verse 13. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins, into my kidneys. Not literally, he's expressing his feeling. So when the Israelites also experience different feelings, different emotions, for example, anger, sorrow, they believe that these emotions came out of their organs, out of their inner being. And therefore, a soldier wore a breastplate, not only to protect him as a soldier for the different spears and arrows, but he was also protecting especially his being, not just his organs, his being, who he was. So whether they were correct about this, we'll let that go. But Paul understood this. Paul understood this. So we need to understand this. Why? When he expresses and he teaches, put on the breastplate of righteousness. There's spiritual lessons. Satan is a great enemy. He's a great enemy of Christ. He's a great enemy of the church. And he attacks at the most vulnerable areas. He attacks in the feelings, in the emotions, in the being of a person. Why? Because he wants to destroy their being. He wants to destroy who they are. What type of a battle are they in, remember? Is it a physical battle? No, it's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. The Christian soldier doesn't need a shield to protect literally from arrows, from spears, and from swords. He needs a shield. The Christian soldier needs a shield to protect his being. Paul is telling us that believers must put on the breastplate of righteousness, protect a very vital part of their being against the attacks of Satan. They're in a spiritual battle against spiritual powers in dark places. They're in a battle with Satan. And Satan attacks. He attacks the Christian in the most vital part, in his being, in his emotions. The soldier, the Roman soldier, he protected himself with a breastplate from the enemy, from the bows and the arrows and the spears. But the Christian soldier, those who have come under the captain, the great captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, they need a shield to protect him, their feelings, against the attacks of Satan. And that is why Paul says, stand therefore, having on the breastplate of righteousness. So may I ask you, are you protected? Are you protected in the battle? In the great battle against Satan? Are you protected by his shield, by the breastplate of righteousness? So we heard a little something about that shield, why we need it. But why the breastplate of righteousness? Why specifically doesn't he just say you need a shield? Why does Paul say the armor, you need a breastplate of righteousness? Well, first, he's not referring to any righteousness that any man has. Why? Because they don't have any. All their righteousnesses are filthy rags, as we read in Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. That's not a shield in the battle. And Paul wrote also in Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So no soldier, and that's what they learn, they don't have a righteousness. They don't have their own breastplate of righteousness to protect them in the battle. They need one. So what does Paul mean? What does Paul mean if he's not referring to our own righteousness? What's he referring to by the breastplate of righteousness? He's speaking of a righteousness that no man has. That shield of righteousness that they need and they don't have. They need a righteousness. It's a righteousness which comes completely outside of them. Remember, a soldier is given armor. Those Christian soldiers are given armor and they need to put it on. It comes from outside of them. So what is Paul expressly saying? What is he referring to by the breastplate of righteousness? He's referring and pointing to that only righteousness. He's pointing to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to stand firm in the battle against all the attacks of Satan. The only way to withstand Satan with all your feelings and your being when he attacks is to be protected, to be shielded by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you desire to know more of what Paul is speaking about? Please open your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul speaks about his righteousness in this chapter, and he also speaks about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Does Paul trust his own righteousness? No, he doesn't. And from a human perspective, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. If any person could have a reason to trust, to hope in his righteousness, was Paul. But what do we read in verse 4? If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So he says, if anyone would have a reason to trust in his own righteousness, I more. But then we listen further. We read the following verses, a list of reasons why Paul could possibly trust in his flesh. Verses 5 and 6. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He's blameless. Was Paul very proud of his achievements, of his righteousness? Let's read verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So Paul has no hope in his righteousnesses at all. Paul died to all his own righteousness. Why? To receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what he confesses in verse 8 and 9. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Paul lost all his own righteousnesses, and he had only one hope. On the road to Damascus, Paul was a Pharisee of a Pharisee. He was an enemy of God, and God converted him. God renewed him. God translated him out of the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom. And Paul learned that everything that he could have had hope in, it was all corrupt, all unrighteous, all filthy rags. The Lord showed him who he was. He said, sin revived and I died. Paul died to everything. But what else did the Lord teach him? As we read these verses from Philippians 3, the Lord didn't only teach him about self. He taught him and showed him the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he longed to be found in the righteousness, behind that shield, that breastplate of righteousness. And this is the life of a Christian soldier, translated, but also learning. That I don't have a shield of righteousness, and I need one. I need a shield. I need the righteousness of someone else. I need the righteousness of what the scripture testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul knows. He knows what it is to be attacked. He knows what it is to be attacked by Satan. And therefore he said, stand therefore. We're in a battle. That enemy, that evil one, that wicked Satan, he would love to destroy. And there's only one way to stand, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Paul knew he could not protect himself with all those attacks with his own righteousness. He said, it's all dung. It's all filthy rags. It's nothing. And he lost it all to have, to know that shield of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that you? That's the life of a Christian soldier. Paul knew in his heart, not in his head, he knew experientially that he had no righteousnesses and that he needed the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the only way that he could be in the battle, that he could stand firm, that he could have the victory, but also that he could be acceptable in the sight of God. So is this your life? This explanation, is this your life? Your life? Is your confession, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? May I ask you, have you ever needed righteousness? Have you ever hungered and thirsted after righteousness? That you need to be righteous, but that you're not righteous, and that you're absolutely grieved, that you're just lost and unrighteous, and that you need a righteousness of someone else? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say in the Beatitudes? In Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is a mark. This is a picture of a Christian soldier. And so the soldier, the Roman soldier, before entering into a battle, he would gird his loins into that belt, and he would put that shield on that protected him, that protected his vital organs. And the Christian soldier is in a battle every day, and he needs to have on the breastplate of righteousness. And what a wonder it is when sinners, born again by God's free and sovereign grace, do not trust any of their own righteousnesses anymore, but need that righteousness of another that's revealed unto them through the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness. And in that way, they are protected. The Roman soldier is protected in the battle, but that Christian soldier in the battle is protected. And so we come to our second thought, the protection of the breastplate of righteousness. Paul said, stand therefore, and then having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the breastplate, the shield of the Roman soldier, is used by Paul as a metaphor, as an illustration of the Christian soldier's breastplate of righteousness. The sinner who by God's grace trusts in the righteousness of Jesus Christ has protection. Protection from what? What does he need protection from? Children, what does a lost sinner need protection from? What are they under? What is the Almighty God? There's wrath upon them. And they need protection from God's wrath. Remember Noah? He was in the ark. What was the only way to be protected? In the ark. In that time, from the well-deserved wrath of God, all outside the ark would be destroyed by the wrath of God. A sinner needs to be hidden behind that shield of righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to stand in the presence of a holy, infinite, just God. The sinner needs to be absolutely righteous to be able to stand before the infinite wrath of a holy and just God. How can a sinner be righteous? Well, God demands that his law must be fulfilled and that he must pay for his sin. What sinner, even a Christian soldier, born again in that army, can fulfill the law? None of them. That's what they experience. O wretched man that I am, Romans 7. But what Christian soldier, born again, what one can pay that great debt of their sin? None of them. So they need a righteousness. They need a breastplate of righteousness, which only is in through Jesus Christ. And does he have that righteousness? Does this shield of righteousness protect a sinner that hides under it, that by faith puts it on by God's grace? Yes. Because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is a righteousness that he merited by his obeying the law, by fulfilling the law. He is that one who stood in the place for transgressors. He kept the law. He has an obedience, passive and active. But also another thing. He doesn't only have a perfect obedience. He gave a sacrifice. He gave his blood. He gave himself. What did Paul write in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? Why? Why did he do that? Why did he willingly become sin who knew no sin? Why did God the Father make his son who knew no sin sin? Why? For those wretches that have no righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so a sinner wearing the breastplate of righteousness is sheltered from the wrath of God. May I ask you, are you? Are you wearing the shield of righteousness, that breastplate of righteousness? You say, how? How can I be wearing it? How can I put it on? Paul says, put it on. You see that Roman soldier? He hears. He hears he needs it. He believes it's protection and he puts it on. But what about the Christian soldier? How does he put it on? It's by faith, by trusting, by faith in the Word of God, by believing in him and who is the Lord our righteousness, by taking refuge under him. It's by faith. What did John write in John 3 verse 36? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Who does the wrath of God abide on? those who do not have the breastplate of righteousness, who do not trust in it, who are not wearing it, who are not by faith looking to it, longing for it, hoping in it. And do you remember why the soldier needed that breastplate of righteousness? To protect his vital organs. So the protection of the breastplate is, in the first place, from the well-deserved wrath of God, hiding in Christ, but also they're in a battle, a spiritual battle. And Paul says, stand therefore, having on the breastplate of righteousness, soldier. You need to have that breastplate on. You need to protect your vital organs. Paul is saying, you need to protect your emotions. You need to protect your feelings. You need to protect your being. If you want to stand firm in the battle, you need to have that shield of righteousness on to protect against the attacks of Satan. You need to protect your being. You must be armed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your only protection, your only way to stand firm in the battle. Paul learned he could not protect himself at all. He saw himself as that soldier. He needed that belt, but he also needed that breastplate, that shield of breastplate to protect himself, not only from the wrath of God, but also from all the attacks of Satan. His baptism, his confession, his tears, his prayers, his zeal, nothing could protect him. What a lesson to learn. Nothing of self can protect. Protect from the wrath of God, but protect also from the attacks of Satan. The only thing that gives a secure, firm protection is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let's think about our feelings and emotions a moment. Remember, they had the thought that they needed it to be protected, their vital organs, because that's where their feelings, that's where their being was in. And that's why Paul also understood that there's lessons. There's lessons. Every child of God, those who are born again, have feelings. They have emotions. They have God-worked feelings and emotions in their soul by the work of the Holy Spirit. They differ, some more, some less, but they all have feelings. What feelings? Feelings of closeness or distance with God. What other feelings? Sorrow because of sin, and joy in God through Christ in believing. They have the conviction of sin, which causes sorrow. And by the application of the Holy Spirit through the gospel in believing, they also have something of joy. So we hear of feelings. Feelings in the life of a Christian soldier. And these feelings can go up and down in the life. Up and down. And these feelings are real. In the true experience, there is real feelings. No sinner will be saved without feelings. How can there be true sorrow without pain? How can there be true faith without believing, without joy? Remember what Peter wrote? 1 Peter 1 verse 8, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So we hear different feelings of sorrow, and we hear of joy. The Christian soldier has emotions. He has feelings because the Holy Spirit renews him, and it affects his whole being, not only his mind, not only his heart, but also his affections, feelings, his emotions. And the soldier needed to protect his being. The Christian soldier needs to protect his feelings, his emotions. But the great danger of a Christian soldier is to base his salvation only on his feelings. They have feelings, real feelings, God-worked feelings. But their salvation isn't their feelings. That's not the base. That's not the foundation. It's Jesus Christ. But if we live only by our feelings, we open ourselves, We open ourselves to all the attacks of Satan in our feelings. So if we're living as a Christian soldier only by our feelings, so to speak, we are not behind that shield, that breastplate of righteousness. Paul did not trust himself. He didn't trust his righteousness at all. He needed it. He wanted to be found in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." So Christian soldier, lambs, sheep of the good shepherd, do not live by your feelings. Do not live by your emotions, but you are called to live upon the only foundation, having the breastplate of righteousness on, living upon, hiding in, living in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because if you're not, you are easy prey for Satan. Easy prey, he will come. If you're basing it all upon your feelings, and yes, there is feelings, you don't need to throw them away. You don't need to dismiss them. You don't need to deny them. But you shouldn't be living as that as your foundation of salvation. But if you are, then Satan comes and he attacks. He attacks, and what does he say? "Oh, do you have enough sorrow? You don't have enough sorrow. You think you're one of God's children. You don't have enough sorrow. It's impossible. Think of yesterday. You didn't weep enough. You don't have enough pain. Oh, you think you are a Christian soldier? You think you're a recipient of God's grace? There's joy in believing. You don't have enough joy. If you really would believing, you would have so much more joy. You think you're a Christian? You think you're a recipient of God's grace? Those who truly believe love him. You don't love him enough. Look what you did yesterday. Look what you did last week. Look what you did again." And he attacks and he attacks. And what do we do? What do those soldiers do that live so much only by their feelings and not on that foundation? We agree with him. And then he's so happy. He likes to destroy everything. He cannot literally destroy, but he likes to take away all the joy, all the hope. We need to live, Christian soldiers, with that breastplate of righteousness on that foundation of Jesus Christ and his righteousness, hiding behind him, living in him. And when he attacks, may we answer, as the poet said, "My hope is in nothing of self, but my only hope, my only foundation. It's not my feelings, it's true. There's not enough sorrow, there's not enough love, there's not enough of anything. It's all short. But my hope, my foundation, it's not me, it's not my feelings, it's not my emotions, but my hope is that only Savior of his blood and of his righteousness." Oh, may you confess as that poet, "I dare not trust this freest, sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Paul is not giving advice. He's not giving suggestions. No, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's giving a command. He wants what's best. He knows what's best for him in that battle. And he wants what's best for all his dear, beloved brothers in Christ. All those soldiers in Ephesus, in Corinth, but may it also be in Cortland. You need that breastplate of righteousness on. You need to be wearing it by faith, trusting, looking, hoping in him, in his salvation, in his righteousness, and his blood. Are you a Christian soldier? Or are you standing without a belt? Are you standing without a shield, a breastplate of righteousness? Then you are under the wrath of God. You're lost. You're in absolute, utter want. And at any moment, that axe could cut you off. And then where the tree falls, there it lies. Lost forever, lost. My friend, You need to become, by God's grace, a true in the heart, by the work of the Holy Spirit, a Christian soldier. You need that armor. You need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Living by faith. What a lesson. What a battle. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But by living by faith, looking to Him, hoping only in Him, and nothing of self. What a battle. What a lesson. What work the Holy Spirit has to do day by day and day again, that sinners would only rest completely in that Savior and be wearing the breastplate of righteousness. And so we see a Roman soldier. He has that belt. He has that breastplate on. And he would never ever think of going into the battle without that protection. But are there? Are there Christian soldiers? And yes, there is. We're so foolish. We're so proud. Sometimes we think we can go into the battle with what we have, with our strength, with our zeal, with our tears, with our prayer, with our etc. But to learn, the only way we can live day by day is with that armor. What does that mean? In Jesus Christ, in Him alone. And we need it every day. A soldier needs it every day, any moment that enemy can attack. And those Christian soldiers need that armor every day, 24 hours, 7 days a week, at home, at work, at school, wherever you are. Stand, therefore, having on the breastplate of righteousness. This is the only protection from that well-deserved wrath of God, because that wrath fell upon His Son. And those that are hiding in Him, wearing the breastplate of righteousness, they are protected because it fell upon Him. But without Him, then we are under the full wrath of God and under the power of Satan. Oh, He doesn't attack those that are not Christian soldiers because He already has them. He already has them. But He attacks those lambs, those sheep, and they need that shield. There's a protection. And by God's grace, and by that work of the Holy Spirit, when they made me wearing, there's blessings, great blessings. But before we go to our last thought, let us first sing from Psalter number 5, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. 1, 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many rise. How many say in vain for help, he on his God relies. Psalter number 5, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Thank you. the Christian soldier armed with the breastplate of righteousness, we heard a little something of significance. We heard something of the protection. But what's the blessing? May I ask you, Christian soldier, what do you long for? What do you need? What do you hunger for? What do you thirst for? A Roman soldier in the battle, he longed to be able to live. He longed to be able to come home again. He longed for those blessings. And when in the battle an arrow hit the shield, or when an enemy came and tried to stab him, but that shield protected him, he saw the blessing of having that shield that protected his life. And he was thankful. But the Christian soldier, that Christian soldier that is wearing that breastplate of righteousness, meaning believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, has blessings. Great, unspeakable blessings. What are they? Let's first open your Bible to Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31, there we read, Isaiah was a Christian soldier, and he gives instruction. He speaks of a blessing. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord, that's a Christian soldier, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. And Paul says, stand firm. And here he is explaining Isaiah, those soldiers waiting, resting, hoping, trusting. No, not in self. Trusting in the Lord, that Almighty God, they are the ones that will come through that battle. Maybe wounded here and there. Maybe broken legs. But they will come through that battle. They shall walk. They shall not faint. That means they shall not perish. They will come through the battle. They will go home. They'll go home to be with their captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing to be a true Christian soldier, to be delivered from the power of that enemy, that wicked, evil one, Satan, and to be brought under that captain, under the precious Savior. But what a blessing to have that armor, to have him to protect you in everything, to have him as the Lord, our righteousness, that righteousness that you need and that you don't have of yourself. But what a blessing. My friend, are you a Christian soldier? Are you wearing that breastplate of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have true saving faith in that only Savior? That's the only way. That's the only way to be in that battle, the only way of victory through the battle. In him, under him, protected by him, covered by him, cared by him. So what are the blessings? Let's ask Paul. Let's ask Paul that wrote this. Let's ask him, what are the blessings? Paul experienced that he could not be justified by any works. And oh, he had so many works. But he had to cross it all out. He had to die to it all. But what did he learn? He could be justified. Justified by that holy, almighty God that he had sinned against, that he had even persecuted him and his church. By faith. By faith. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. A sinner is justified by faith in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through this, blessings flow. Blessings flow unto them through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'll conclude with three great blessings. But may I ask you, what do you long for, soldier? May I ask you, what do you long for? What do you long for? You know what they long for? They long for favor. They long for favor with God, and they only learn that they are deserving of condemnation and of wrath. But how? How can I ever be free of condemnation and receive his favor? How? Paul writes it. Open your Bible. Romans 8, verse 1. There he explains the great blessing of being with the breastplate of the righteousness of Jesus Christ on. What's the great blessing? Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who are they? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So who are they? Those Christian soldiers have faith in Christ. They're not walking after the flesh. No, that's all hopeless. That's lost. But after the Spirit. Those Christian soldiers have the breastplate of the Lord Jesus Christ on, trusting in Him. And what's the blessing? No condemnation. Free of condemnation. Free. Now. No, not in the future, going to heaven. Now, already in this life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the blessing of those soldiers with the breastplate of righteousness on in the battle, already free of condemnation. And by nature, we only deserve condemnation. Deserve. But it's all by grace. It's all provided, all given by God the Father through His dear Son and through His Son, through His sacrifice, who gave Himself under that sword of the righteousness of His Father. And He died. He shed His blood because He was condemned to death. They are free. Those that believe in Him have the blessing of no condemnation. But what other blessing? What other blessing do you long for? You say that so much already. I would like to just go home and meditate upon that. Oh, if I could feel it and believe it, then I could just sing. What a blessing. But there's more. More, yes. What? What do they long for? They long to have peace with God. Peace with God. Open your Bible to Romans 5. There we hear of that blessing of being in Christ, justified by faith, the blessing of Romans 5. Verse 1, Paul wrote, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the fruit? What's the blessing? Peace with God. And what do we read in the Word of God? There is no peace to the wicked. We are born without peace. We're born as enemies. But God renews them, and they long. They long to have peace with God, that the Lord could look upon them in favor. They want peace. They made enmity, and they cannot make any way peace of themselves. And they long that there may be peace, and that peace is only in Jesus Christ, in hiding, in faith in Him. Peace with God. Is that what you long for? That's the blessing of being in Christ. So what is the opposite? Outside of Christ, there is no peace. If you do not have this shield, this breastplate of righteousness, if you do not have true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I must tell you today, you are without peace. But in Him, by wearing that breastplate, by faith in Christ, it is with peace with God. Do they all have a conscience knowledge of this? That varies. That varies. And yet, if there is true saving faith, there is peace with God. Peace in this life, they taste it. And oh, when you taste a little something of that peace through Christ with God, what that peace that passeth all understanding. What rest, what hope, what joy. But it's also a peace to die with. To die with. To die in Him. Wearing that breastplate of righteousness, meaning faith in Christ. That is the only way to die and to meet God in peace. So no condemnation. What a blessing. Free. That the Lord can look upon you in favor. Have peace with God. But what else? What else do they long for? What else? What's another blessing? They long to have communion. They long to have access to God. Access to God? What Jew could enter into the holies of holies? None. What Jew could enter into the holies? None. Because he's a consuming fire. How can there be access? Access. That means going into his presence. How can there be? Romans 5 verse 2. Paul writes about it. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What does it mean, access? That means admittance. Admittance to enter in and to speak. Admittance to enter in to speak through another, through that precious Savior. There is admittance. There is access to the very heart, to the very presence of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Is that what you long for? It's through him and only in him. Do you understand now? Why Paul says, why he gives that command, stand therefore, having on the breastplate of righteousness, because in Christ is those blessings in this life, and those blessings that will be to eternity, free from all condemnation, to be able to be forever with peace with God, and to be ever to have access into his presence. In him, and only through that precious Savior. I want to speak to you one more time. You, who are lost. Who are lost. Who are not a Christian soldier at all. Who are you? Walking after the flesh. Serving the world. Serving self. No true repentance. No true saving faith. Lost. I hope you hear what great blessings you are missing. But I hope also here, what's the opposite? Think about it. Under condemnation. No, not under wrath of a man. Not under anger of a teacher or of a father. But under the wrath of God. And no peace. No peace at all. Absolute and utter want. Lost. And no ability ever to enter into his presence unless the Lord comes and renews and works in you. So go home as a beggar. Go home as a beggar. Confess. If you're just lost, if you're not a Christian soldier at all, but you're still an enemy, beg him for the grace because he has the power. Ask those Christian soldiers, did they make themselves a Christian soldier? No, not at all. It was by his grace, and he's a living God, and he's mighty, and he's powerful, and through his Son, he still works, and he will work until the end of time. So go home as a beggar, begging him, Lord, make me, renew me, make me one of thy soldiers, that I may be under that only place and protection, and children of God, soldiers, lamb, sheep, stand therefore, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And at times I understand, we think we will perish, but we'll never perish. Sometimes Satan can attack so strong, and he can go right to the very core, disturbing us in our emotions, in our feelings, in our being. But he will never destroy. He will never bring you to absolute utter ruin. Why? Because the only way he can, he needs to go through. He needs to go through that shield. He needs to go through him who is the shield. He needs to go through him who is the Lord, our righteousness. Those that are hiding him are absolutely most securely protected. Why? Because he paid the price, but he protects them. He protects them from that evil one. And the only way that evil one can ever destroy them, they need to destroy him. But that's absolutely impossible. And so the victory is sure in him. Let's close with what Paul said, wrote in Romans 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. All the praise and all the glory to him and to him alone. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee that thou would richly bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that thou would be the after preacher, Take away whatever was not according to thy will, and bless thy word. And Lord, thou hast said it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And thy word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thou can pierce to the very hearts. Thou art the discerner of thoughts and intents. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that the preaching of thy word may be to the conversion of sinners, but also to the edification of thy dear people. Oh, may it have been tonight that poor and needy sinners may hear of that hope, of that way, and that thy name may be honored and glorified. Keep us as we go home, Lord. We thank thee for thy help. We thank thee for this time in the middle of this week to consider and meditate upon thy precious word. Wilt thou prepare us for thy day? Give a word to speak. Give much prayer and richly bless it. And Lord, we ask also that thou would remember also Mr. Jeff Feldesgraf with all his cares and needs and all others sick, known unto thee, all those who are going for tests. Lord, give grace to follow thee in all thy ways. Wash and cleanse us of all our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 406, 407, 407, all four stanzas. O praise ye the Lord and sing a new song amid all his saints, his praises prolong. The praise of their Maker, his people shall sing, and children of Zion rejoice in their King. 407, all stanzas. Just a reminder to all men 18 and older, you're most heartily welcome to the men's breakfast on Saturday morning. And if you registered last time, you need to re-register. Yeah? So most welcome. Let's receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.